America's annual joint military exercises with South Korea begin today, just a month after North Korea successfully tested two intercontinental ballistic missiles. The drills run until the end of the month, but all eyes will be on Pyongyang to see how the country's leader, Kim Jong-un, responds. China and Russia have called for the exercises to be postponed or curtailed to ease the hostility on the Korean Peninsula, but US military officials say they'll go ahead as planned. It's not the first time Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russia's Vladimir Putin have stood side by side on the world stage. The two leaders have long been singing from the same songbook on issues as diverse as climate change and nuclear proliferation, as Matt Bevan reports.
Whenever the world's biggest conflict zones are discussed, it's not long before you start hearing about Russia and China. Most recently, the North Korean missile crisis has led to the United States insisting that it's up to China to solve the problem.
China can do a lot more with North Korea.
That pressure is only going to work if China makes the decision that it has to change its own relations with North Korea.
Just a few moments ago, the president sent out his first tweet of the day. Mr. Trump is going to be delving into his arsenal, if you will, of tools to address the issue of trade with China.
But when China responds to this push, you often hear their friends in Russia respond too.
China called on the United States and North Korea to refrain from the old path of flaunting power and raising tensions on the Korean Peninsula. But Russia hopes common sense will prevail.
The Chinese leader, of course, is now going to the G20 summit along with Vladimir Putin. They came out with a surprising statement. They said that perhaps North Korea might impose a moratorium on nuclear weapons tests if South Korea and the United States stopped with the endless drills and war games that they hold. But a strong message from them both.
Chinese and Russian state media there. But while the two countries have been allies for a long time, it is a slightly odd pairing. China is the world's second largest economy and Russia is 12th. Despite the fact there are 10 times more Chinese than Russians, your average Chinese person is healthier and happier, lives longer, and soon enough will be richer than their Russian counterpart. Not to mention that China's influence across Asia is starting to infringe on Russia's turf. And yet, despite the fact that the countries are going in completely different directions, they are brought together by one thing.
There's probably one that stands out, and it's called the United States.
That's Emeritus Professor Joseph Camilleri from La Trobe University.
They are both, in different ways, either anxious or resentful about the policies which the United States has pursued over a period of time. In the case of Russia, of course, there's been a series of concerns, the most important of which is the wholesale expansion of NATO to cover just about the whole of Europe.
Since the end of the Cold War, 10 of Russia's former Warsaw Pact allies, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia and Albania, have all allied with NATO and the United States.
In China's case, it too is encircled by a ring of military power, which is the United States naval presence in the Asia-Pacific region, but also a string of military alliances, Japan, South Korea, Philippines, Australia, among others.
So, a common enemy for China and Russia, which has led to a loose alliance between the two.
A marriage of convenience, if you like, rather than a marriage of love, but fairly firm and reasonably well cemented.
To go on with that metaphor, wouldn't you say that Russia is punching significantly above its weight in its relationship with China? China has an economy nearly 10 times the size of Russia's, and China is trying to pitch itself as a state that is against corruption, and there's almost no more corrupt state than Russia. Is Russia lucky to have the relationship that they do with China?
No, I think both have assets which the other one doesn't have. Yes, economically, China is doing much better. But what Russia has, which China does not have, is a first-rate nuclear weapons capability. There is no way that the United States could win in a nuclear exchange with Russia. Neither can. Secondly, Russia has a capacity to intervene politically in parts of the world in which China is only just beginning to emerge, in particular in the Middle East and in certain parts of Central Asia.
So China sees Russia as an important ally because of its superior military capabilities and for its influence in a few key parts of the world. Additionally, China and Russia make up two of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council with the right to veto resolutions. And Joseph Camilleri says they prefer to veto things together rather than look like the only party pooper. I'm paraphrasing there. Joseph didn't say party pooper. But since the turn of the 21st century, China hasn't vetoed anything at the Security Council without Russia as well. But back to corruption. China says they're trying to crack down on corruption in government and business, and Russia, well, isn't. But according to Victor Teo from the University of Hong Kong and Harvard as well, China's attitude to Russia's corruption may well give you an idea of why they get on so well.
The Chinese knows that it's very important not for them to comment or criticize what happens, what goes on in Russia. The Chinese sees a lot of hypocrisy if they attempt to do something like that, because they have always been telling the Americans and Japan, for instance, that are criticizing them, that China respects the rights of other people to develop their own countries in their own style.
Whereas the Americans are more than happy to comment on Russian domestic politics.
What we need to do is understand Vladimir Putin for what he is, a murderer and a thug.
Putin's a killer.
Putin's a former KGB agent. He's a thug.
Victor Teo also thinks military technology is another driver for keeping Russia on side.
The Chinese also seek help in terms of acquiring advanced weaponry from Moscow. So the Russians are not selling the Chinese everything that the Chinese want. They're selling the technology or the weapons that can help the Chinese improve their odds against the United States.
Victor Teo says China also wants Russia's help fighting Islamic extremism to their west, and with their enormous One Belt, One Road plan to build road and rail infrastructure throughout Central Asia, as well as building maritime infrastructure through the Pacific and Indian Oceans, connecting Chinese traders to Europe and the Middle East. Russia has a strong presence in many of those areas, meaning that while they're happy to help now, there are some concerns that may lead to tension in the future. Victor Teo says that's why Russians won't sell the Chinese every bit of military technology that they're after.
The Russians are very keen to ensure that they keep a technological edge over the Chinese in terms of these weapon sales.
Just in case the bromance doesn't last.
Matt Bevan reporting.